I've had individuals tell me from the lifestyle that they could care less about an individual. All they want to do is just engage in the pattern of senselessness, senseless violence. These are so-called big homies who I used to talk to, and on the gate, they would openly advocate violence in the sense that all of those who were under them, their soldiers, so to speak, they didn't care if they were enrolled in college. They didn't care if these individuals were programming and trying to go home. They could care less about that. The only thing that they were focused on was whether or not when they made a call, these individuals would follow up on that. So how are these your brothers? How are these individuals your friends? So I would encourage the young individuals, man, listen, man. You got to really, really pay attention because these individuals don't care nothing about you. If they're going to send you on a doja move to do something to perpetuate some diabolical scheme coming from one of these individuals, then surely they don't care nothing about you. So the gang subculture is submerged or immersed with nothing but negativity. But not only that, it perpetuates this or it gives off the impression that brothers are brothers and friends are friends. When that's not the case. We know that that's not the case. I know that that's not the case. Because for 2 decades, I was a part of that lifestyle. And there's nothing about any brotherhood or any friendship. And that's not even the case. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there will be some individuals who are exceptional characters who step outside of that lifestyle and continue to maintain solid relationships. But again, that's few and far between. Just as it is in life. You come across individuals that you can value or who also value friendship. And because of their teachings or their upbringing, their experiences, they've learned to value friendship as well. And then ultimately, you know, you two, y'all come together and y'all build a solid relationship. Because there are people in this world, for all intents and purposes, who they've been friends with their loved ones or their close ones, their close friends for a very, very long time. My wife is a prime example of that. She and my sisters, as I call them, because they are my sisters. I've known them longer than I've known my wife. But they don't refer to me as their best friend. They simply refer to me as their brother. But to her, my wife that is, her and her best friends have been best friends for over 20, 25, 30 years. They've been best friends for a very long time. And they consider each other as such. And I like to compare the friends from my childhood to the so-called friends from my childhood to my wife's friends from her childhood. In comparison, my friends, I have the guys who I consider my so-called friends, I don't even have them anymore. They're no longer friends. But my wife, on the other hand, they are all each other's godmothers to each other's kids. Their kids are godbrothers and godsisters to one another. And their bonds seem to have gotten stronger as time has gone on. Whereas the so-called friends that I have had, the relationships that we've had has eroded through time. So what does that say about my friendship? It simply says that as I was picking my fruit, my friends, I was picking some sour fruit, some spoiled fruit. It was rotten, it was spoiled, and it wasn't good for me. So again, I had to go back to the drawing board. I had to reevaluate who my friends were. I really had to do that. And I would advise everyone to do the same. Don't take picking friends lightly. Because you never know. You would think that you're picking up a good fruit when in fact this fruit is rotten. So my mother wasn't telling me anything wrong about knowing who your friends were in this life. I think each of us can say that we know someone who's our friend, someone who we can depend on. And in spite of me sitting in the prison cell, don't get it twisted. I've had some great friends replaced the so-called friends that I thought I had and then became the friends or individuals who I consider my friends today. But even I had to learn something about being a good friend. Because I wasn't always a good friend myself. See, and this is what happens when you get into them streets. That a part of you is lost. And I now know that a part of me was lost due to selfishness, greed, a desire just to be out for my own selfish interests. I had a childhood buddy of mine who, when we were young, we were very close. But I was so caught up in the streets that I failed to even just be, to mirror a semblance of what he showed me, which was true love. And he taught me an invaluable lesson about humility and forgiveness. For 20 years, I didn't see this individual, and he outright told me, man, yo, man, I felt some ways because I expected for you to be a true friend to me and you were not. You broke my heart. And the truth was that I broke that man's heart. So we had to be harsh with each other, man. I told him, I said, listen, brother, you have every right to be upset at me. I failed to live up to the expectations that you held of me. And I truly apologize for that. May you forgive me. And we went back and forth, and he began to tell me. He brought me up on charges, man. And he let me know, listen, man, I'm really disappointed in the things that I expected from you. I wanted you, you told me you would do that, you didn't do it. I expected for you to do this, you didn't do that. You told me this, and he just ran them off. But he said, I forgive you. And that's what the streets, or just life in general, man, when you adhere to a set of values that go contrary to righteous values that you know to be right and exact, but you deviate from that and you veer off into a lane where you go contrary to that, you're going to disappoint a lot of people in the process. And he just so happened to be one of those individuals who I disappointed, who I let down, who, for all intents and purposes, I just wasn't a good friend of. But today, this is one of my best friends, man, that I've had in my entire life. In fact, he's my brother. I love him. He forgave me, and I had nothing to forgive him for because he's always been consistent. He's doing spectacular. He has a beautiful family. I love him. I love him. I love him to death. And during my time of incarceration, he could have kicked me down and said, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, step up to the plate. But no, this brother would fly in from out of state and he's on the first thing smoking. He's on a visit with my wife. He's sharing his thoughts with me, man. He's letting me know, man, that he's here for me. So he was more of a friend to me than I was a friend to him. So he taught me a lot about friendship as well. So I don't want to come off and give the impression like I'm preaching to the choir. Like, I'm this great friend and, you know, yeah, listen to Moshe. I'm telling you what a great friend is and what it isn't. And I've always been a great friend. No, I would be very dishonest if I told you that. In order to know how it is to be a great friend, I had to tell you, I'm telling you right now that I was a horrible friend. And this is, again, this is what happens when you allow yourself to lose control over your own life, man. And I now know them streets. I just was a horrible individual, man. I lost myself in them streets, man. For real. I did. And you lose yourself when you don't even have the decency to be a true and honorable friend. Again, we always think that we can be an honorable friend when we're doing wrong. That's how the mindset is when you in them streets. When you out there, dog-eat-dog mentality, and you trying to live that lifestyle. You don't always live up to what's righteous. And the people who are striving to do that, to live righteous, that is, to the best of their ability, begin to see chinks in your armor, which reflect the lifestyle that you're living, which is ultimately contrary to the value system that they know exists within inside of you. Since my coming home, I've been hearing from a lot of my friends from the past, from my PS273 years, which is elementary school. I haven't heard from some of these individuals in 20, 25, 30 years. But speaking to some of these individuals on the telephone is as if we're 9, 10, 11, and 11 years old all over again. But these are the people who I already mentioned that had a significant impact, because these were my formative years. My early years of childhood development. Where there was a level of innocence that, you know, after elementary school, it escaped us. It seemed to escape us all. So I'm thankful for their reaching out to me. But again, I'm in my heart, I'm saying to myself, wow, I really appreciate just hearing from these people. Because these individuals were some of those people who were instrumental in constantly reminding me of who I truly was and those values that they knew were imparted upon me by my elders. So when they saw me deviate, they reminded me, like, what are you doing? So I didn't forget these individuals when I was locked up, because they were the ones who tried to steer me in the right direction, but I ultimately disregarded those that wisdom that they tried to bestow upon me. So moving forward, I strive to build meaningful relationships. This is what I strive to do. And what I mean by meaningful relationships is that in the past, I befriended people that didn't value friendship. But today I'm looking at the significance of what a meaningful relationship is. My elder brother told me, yo, bro, we need to start looking at our individual lives or persons as we are sovereign nations conducting business with other sovereign nations. Therefore, as a sovereign nation, you want to ensure that you're conducting business with another sovereign nation in a meaningful way that is beneficial for the interests of you and that sovereign nation. You want to build bonds that are solidified, where you're building strong bonds between you and someone else. And that's ultimately what it boils down to. So my advice to my listeners is to constantly reevaluate your relationships. I don't want us to be cynical. I don't want us to be, you know, to running around here questioning, you know, why everyone's in our lives. I'm not saying that. I'm not just saying you let anybody into your home. No, I'm not getting into that. What I'm simply saying is that when making moves, the moves that we make should be meaningful. The relationships that we are building should be meaningful. Are we doing things just for the sake of doing so? Or is there a reason why we're actually doing it? I'm not saying that we befriend people to be exploitive of them. We're not exploiting them. We're not taking advantage of anyone. But in order to build meaningful relationships, there has to be a quid pro quo. Somebody has to be giving you something and vice versa. It can be respect, it can be honor, it can be love, it can be trust. It doesn't have to be of monetary value. But in some instances, friendships are based on monetary value. But I'm not just saying that we should, you know, simply, you know, single a relationship out on that alone. No, I wouldn't suggest that. That would be disingenuous. I'm saying that we should constantly reevaluate the relationships that we are building and ask ourselves if our relationships are in furtherance of our goals and objectives. Because if you have friends in your life, so-called friends, who are encouraging you to do wrong, then you need to reevaluate your friendships. But if you are discouraging, if you have friends who are discouraging wrong behavior, these are good friends, and vice versa. If you have friends that are discouraging good behavior, but encouraging wrong behavior, it's the same thing. So I hope that in moving forward, we were able to just gain just a little bit more in terms of how we view each other and how we view our relationships. Because moving forward, this is very important in terms of dealing with how we interact with each other on a daily basis. A lot of times we like to come up with these ideals as to what we need to do and how we need to go about doing them without first breaking down the barriers that may exist in our very lives. In order for us to build meaningful relationships, we have to know that we, you know, there is a relationship. The hardest thing to establish between two people is the ability to relate. But if we're going to make any significant progress, we have to first and foremost break down those barriers. And in terms of friendships, building solid friendships, or whatever the case may be like that, the only way that can be done is if we're honest with ourselves. So with that, I'm going to close out, but leave you guys with a quote that I leave you with every week. Our motto states, a conscious mind makes the best moves. And what that means is that the more aware you are, the more conscious you are, the likelihood exists that you'll make better moves, you'll make better choices, you'll make better decisions. So I hope that everyone out there makes the best moves that they possibly can make. All right, you guys take it easy, man. Assalamu alaikum. Shout it out, y'all. This is Moshe Canty, host of the podcast Conscious Moves. This segment is sponsored by Mighty Healthy. Listen, one of the best conscious moves that you can make is to invest in your physical health. Mighty Healthy will help you do just that. It strengthens your immune system, improves digestion, reduces inflammation due to its high concentration of antioxidants, and replenishes your body with the essential vitamins and minerals it needs daily. Go to MightyHealthy.com, and to get 20% off of your purchasing price, type in the code CONSCIOUS. Tell them that Moshe sent you.